Welcome to the Inner Fight Endurance Podcast. Solo show today because Tom Walker is, well, he has called in sick for 2 days now. He is allowed one sickness a year, so we'll gift him this podcast, but it means you have to listen to me solo. We are brought to you by Hoka. Today, I got to run our Track Tuesday session in the fantastic, fully re-engineered Mach 6. Do I like this shoe? Question mark. The answer is yes. What I love about it, the old Mach 5 had the super critical foam midsole and the foam sole, but the problem is it wore out quite quickly. This new shoe has a strategic rubber outsole coverage, which basically means they've slapped a bit of rubber on top of that critical foam midsole, which means the shoe is going to be much more hard wearing. You're going to get many more kilometers out of it, and it's going to grip better onto the slightly damp, moist surfaces, especially along, if you run in Dubai, along the beach track. When the humidity kicks up, the Mach 5, it was like running on ice skates. So now we'll have some grip with this rubber outsole. The shoe feels really good. It has the collar, the streamlined collar foam. It's got an anatomical tongue, and it's got something called a creel jacquard upper. I have absolutely no idea what that means, but it is a very light, it's very responsive, it's a great shoe for neutral runners. I thoroughly enjoyed running in it this morning. 24 hundredths is what we ran. Good shoe. Now, what else has been happening? We are back from Cat Springs. We had 20 athletes running in the mountains this weekend. We started at 6 p.m. on Friday, and we went all the way through the night into Saturday morning. Guys did really well. Anyone training for ultra distances in the summer, anyone training for backyard ultra, anyone that has upcoming races in the next few months is a really good test. They have a day of work, then they come to the mountains, they build that cognitive fatigue, physical fatigue from working all day, and then they have to try and do 12.5K loops with 500 meters of ascent and 500 meters of descent as many times as they can or want to do, really. We had Joao ran 90 kilometers, and actually I think I ran, it was me. I ran the least. I did one loop, 12.5K. I ran the first loop at nighttime, decided it was too humid, and sat and had a barbecue, which was fantastic. And I got up the next day and I rode my bike. So very good hit out from those 19 runners. Special shout out to the girls, actually. All of the girls that are running with us did very, very well. I didn't hear them complain once. Whereas some of the guys, I'll be honest, were a little bit miserable. Complained quite a lot. So lesson learned there for the guys next time. Stop complaining, please. What else is happening in the news? I'm going to talk about it, but we'll need to get Tom's take on this whenever he comes back, because Ironman have released new competition rules for the 2024 season. This was actually released on 14th of March, and we're recording on the 19th. Some of the rules, I don't know whether they're good or bad, but for the bike, protective screens, fuselages, fairings, or any other device, materials, including duct tape, that is added to the structure of the bike with the intent to reduce resistance is now forbidden. Aerodynamic assemblies in the head tube or elsewhere are forbidden. Provided that the use of the adhesive tape, including duct tape, does not alter, enlarge the general shape or structure of the bike, you can use it. So, for example, to cover a valve cutout on the rear disc wheel, to cover bolt access, that gives you automatic disqualification. But if you're sticking gels to the surface of your bike, perhaps that would be allowed because that's not considered aerodynamic. Also, you are not allowed any additional equipment that has the effect of reducing wind resistance during the bike segment of the race. So, for example, whether Actually, it says here, whether such equipment is worn under the athlete's clothing, over the athlete's clothing, or is otherwise attached to the athlete's body, includes but not limited to bottles, hydration, or any other insert located in the front of the athlete's race suit. That is automatic disqualification. So I know lots of people on the bike leg would put an additional perhaps a water bottle down the front of their cycling suit or down the back of their neck as additional storage as opposed to attaching it on their bike. That gives you automatic disqualification. Your uniforms with a front zipper may be unzipped to any length provided the zipper is connected to the bottom. You're not allowed to fully unzip your top, basically. And your shoulders should be covered at all times. This now incurs a 30 or 60 second penalty as applicable. And then the final one that they've added is you shall not dispose of any trash or equipment, including but not limited to water bottles, gels, wrappers, broken bike parts, clothing on the course, except to aid stations. Any careless littering is a 5 minute time penalty or disqualification, and that's whether intentional or unintentional. So if you take off some arm sleeves for the bike, maybe it starts cold and they accidentally fall out the back of your bib, you can have a 5 minute time penalty. But I think if you're deliberately littering, an automatic disqualification. I think this is a good rule. I don't think anyone should be littering. There's plenty of trash points, there's plenty of aid stations where you can just drop things intentionally if you need to, those gel or bar wrappers. So I quite like that rule. There we go. It'll be interesting to get Tom's take on that when he comes back next week. Today then, what I would like to talk about, I did an Instagram post on this last week, but I think it holds as a slightly longer form in terms of a podcast. We'll take 10 to 15 minutes to talk about this. I want you to imagine that you're standing at the start line of a race where you have a really hard VO2 track session. Perhaps you have a long marathon training run. All you can think about is those hard kilometers ahead of you, or the hard reps, or the massive distance that you're going to have to run. But guess what? You're human. It's normal. We all worry about this. We all worry about these things. And there are some things like running a hard, long ultra race or hitting a 3x12K marathon effort session, or even what I did this morning, 20x400 track session at VO2, where your legs are going to be bathing in lactic acid. Your brain simply cannot fathom this. The distance is too big. The session's too overwhelming. And inevitably, it's going to be too painful for your mind to process it all in one piece. So to avoid this cognitive overload that's associated with the longer or the harder sessions, you need to think smaller. This is where segmenting comes into play. Now, segmenting is the act of breaking down long distances or hard sessions into manageable chunks. And it works by prioritizing the immediacy over the eventuality. It keeps your brain from jumping too far ahead and becoming overwhelmed by the monumental task you have. There's a reason that our telephone numbers here in the UAE, actually, I'm pretty sure worldwide, actually, thinking about it, they're only 10 digits long. When you see them, they're broken down into two, maybe even three chunks. And that's because the human mind can only comfortably hold 7 to 10 bits of information in one go. And what we've come to learn is one of the greatest performance robbers, or flow stealers, if you like, that we have is cognitive load or mental fatigue. And that comes from trying to absorb too much information. If you've ever run and been in a flow state, can you remember what you were thinking about? I guarantee it was probably nothing. You weren't thinking about the distance that you're running. You weren't thinking about the next rep. You're in the moment. You weren't trying to absorb information, you were just being. One of the easiest ways to concern or to address the concern of mental fatigue is by breaking down our training, breaking down our races, and breaking down our events into smaller chunks. And this involves convincing yourself that you're doing less than you actually are. For instance, your brain might be unable to digest the idea of running 100 miles, 100K, 50K, a marathon, all at once. But what if you were running 1 kilometer 100 times? That's much more palatable. Enter Marcus Smith. He ran 30 marathons in 30 days. And if he'd have thought about running that entire distance as a whole, it would have destroyed him. But he broke it down. He reframed it. He reworded it. He actually had a hashtag, one marathon, 30 times. He broke down that massive monumental task into just marathon to marathon. And even within those marathons, he segmented them even further. We've just come back from Cat Springs at the weekend, where the athletes are running 12.5K, 500 meters of vertical gain and lost. The best guys, or the guys that were most successful at the weekend, thought about loop to loop. All they considered was the loop ahead of them. Then they would rest. They would take on nutrition, take on fuel, have a bit of chat at the camp, and then go again. They weren't thinking about the bigger plan or the 24-hour window that we'd given them. They were thinking about that one loop. This morning, I had a super hard track session that I ran with Marcus. It was 20 by 400, 30 seconds rest. If I'd have thought about 20 reps, it's a huge amount. I couldn't fathom that distance, even though it might only be 8K. The number 20 was too big for me. I literally thought about the rep I was on. And even within that rep, I broke it down into the first 200 and the second 200. I reset in the rest, and then I went again. I think I spoke to him at rep 13 and said, how many is that? 13. Okay, brilliant. I know I've got another one. Then I'm into the, if you like, I'm in the back half. Segmenting, it allows us to choose the positive things that we want to focus on versus being focused on those long-term splits or doubting that maybe even we'll complete the session. And in fairness, what your brain's trying to do, it's only trying to protect you from something it perceives to be impossible. And you need to treat your mind like I do with my daughter, Hannah. I don't give her full slices of oat bread in the morning. I cut it up into small bite-sized pieces for her to work on. If I just chucked her a massive loaf of oat bread, maybe I should try it. I'm not exactly sure what to do. She'd probably lick the peanut butter off it, to be fair. But by breaking it down into small bite-sized pieces for her, she can work her way through it and finish that meal. So, practically, how can we segment these sessions? I mean, the obvious one is to go from rep to rep, or if you're in a race, aid station to aid station, or perhaps even kilometer to kilometer. You'll know where the aid stations are. You know how long the rep is, and you know how far a kilometer is. You can motivate yourself to hit those segmented blocks before reassessing the effort. Maybe you push the throttle a little bit more, or maybe you dial back the effort as necessary. This is going to give you lots of little check-in points with yourself, and it's going to keep your effort honest. It allows you to let go of that previous rep or that previous effort or that previous aid station section and just focus on the one in front of you, the one you're running, being in the present. It's like almost resetting the session and going again. You might consider food windows. So instead of running from point to point, what about running from gel to gel, or in my case, croissant to croissant? And this works as a segmenting tactic because it's helpful to fuel on a schedule, especially if you're running longer. If you wait to eat until you're hungry, it's going to be too late. And relying on hunger cues, it's a recipe for disaster. You know, if you're running these super long races, if you're doing the UTMBs and the marathon, your hormones are going to change during exercise, and you might even suppress hunger if you're running long enough. So eating on a regular schedule, maybe every 30 minutes, every 45 minutes tend to be the common themes. It ensures that you're going to stay on top of your fueling. You can actually get your watches. I think the majority of watches, you can set an alarm to remind you when to have your next fuel option. Maybe even I mean, personally, I don't do this. I just like to have a look at my total running time, see when it gets to 30, 45 minutes an hour, depending on how hard an effort you're running, and then just take my fuel then. So assuming you're following a smart fueling plan, you're going to be hitting these nutrition windows pretty frequently during your long runs and your races. Use these pauses or these little breaks as a chance to refuel physically, but also mentally. Framing it as running from one snack to the next is a great segmenting method for the food motivated. And every time your watch beeps, or every time you hit that 30 or 45 minute mark, reset your mental clock simultaneously. Perhaps your brain might need more mental stimulation than the promise of a croissant waiting for you. So give it something specific to chew on between checkpoints. Perhaps you maybe pick a different focal point for each section of the run. That might help fight the mental fatigue of running those longer distances. I know the guys at the weekend that were doing the Cat Springs race, the first section was 3 kilometers downhill, then you hit a flat. And they would break this up. They'd say, we're going to run down to the bottom, then we'll run along the road, then we'll walk the climb. Those focal points, within each of those, they were picking different things to look on. Look on? Look at. They were, if you like, having different visual stimulation. They're having different conversations with different people. There's only so many times you can ride the same train of thought before your mind goes in circles and you start to hit the sound of your own internal voice. That's going to be the one thing you're going to be stuck with from start to finish. So if you put some structure behind your thoughts, they're not going to get old. Some people might like listening to music. Some people will talk to different people. Some people will sing when they run. Some people use running as a creative idea planning. Some people are going to look at different types of trees. They're going to look at different rocks. They're going to look at people's shoes. They're going to look at socks. I actually did that today at track. I was looking at people's socks as they were running past. Don't trust your tired mind to think of these things in the moment, though. You need to plan them ahead of time. You need to work them into your race prep. You need to work them into your procedure the same way you would do with testing fuel, with testing gear, with testing your run paces. Eventually, you're going to gradually train your brain to prioritize mental preparation in the same way that it prioritizes, or you prioritize, physical elements within that. There we go. Segmenting. Love to know your thoughts on this. I'd love to know what strategies you use to segment your runs. I'd love to know what's worked. I'd love to know what's not worked and what you've tried. Send me an email, rj@innerfight.com, with your segmenting tactics, and we'll share them in next week's show. As always, guys, thank you very much for listening. Tom Walker will be back next week. Hope you have a wonderful week of running, cycling, swimming, and all things endurance. Take care.